राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जाय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वन चार, यमुना तीरा, यमुना तीरा वन चार, यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहार। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहार, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद् भाई चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। इसकान संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की। नित्य लील प्रविष्ट भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की। श्रील गौर किशोर दास बाबाजी महाराज की। सचित आनंद भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की। वैष्णव सर्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथ दास बाबाजी महाराज की। गौड़ीय वेदांत आचार्य बलदेव विद्यभूषण प्रभु की। श्री विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर की। श्री नरोत्तम दास ठाकुर की। श्री श्रीनिवास ठाकुर की। श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ, श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ षड गोस्वामी प्रभु की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की। श्री वृंद देवी गंग देवी जमुन देवी भक्ति देवी की। श्री वृंदवन धाम की, मथुरा धाम की, मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की, श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की, श्री द्वारका पुरी धाम की, श्री अयोध्या पुरी धाम की, श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी मंदिर की, श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की, श्री 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 जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र देवी सुदर्शन चक्र की, श्री श्री गौरनीताय की, हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, रामनवमी महोत्सव की, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बो, समावेत भक्त वृंद की, समावेत भक्त वृंद की, समावेत भक्त वृंद की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की। हरि कृष्ण। नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारने। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवतीत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम स्कंद 8 अध्याय 24 श्लोक 7, 8, and 9, 10. So I'll read the first ones without the purports. Asit atita kalpante brahmo naimiti kolayaha samudro paplutas tatra loka bhoradhayo nripa. O King Parikshit, at the end of the past millennium, at the end of Brahma's day, because Lord Brahma sleeps during the night, annihilation took place, and the three worlds were covered by the water of the ocean. Kalena gata nidrasya dhatu shishaishor bali mukhato nispritan devan hayagrivonti ke harat. At the end of Brahma's day, when Brahma felt sleepy and desired to lie down, the Vedas were emanating from his mouth, and the great demon named Hayagriva stole the Vedic knowledge. Jnyatva taddhanavindrasya Hayagrivasya cheshtitam dadhara shafari rupam bhagavan haririshvaraha. Understanding the acts of the great demon Hayagriva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who is full of all opulences, assumed the form of a fish and saved the Vedas by killing the demon. Purport: because everything was inundated by water, to save the Vedas, it was necessary for the Lord to assume the form of a fish. Tatra Raja Rishikh Kashchin Namna Satyavrato Mahan. This is the verse that we're supposed to recite. Do you want to do responsibly, or should I just read it? Or? Oh, I see. There's a mistake there. No, 10. I see. Number 9 is written here, Prabhu. 9 is written here. So what to do? What do you want to do? It's a very small purport, number 9. Okay, so responsibly, you have to go with what's on the board, right? Excuse me. Oh, everybody has in their hand, almost. So you want to go on to 10 then? Tatra Raja Rishikh Kashchid. Namna Satyavrato Mahan. Narayana Paro Patat. Tapat. Tapasa Salilashanaha. Tatra Raja Rishish Kashchin. Namna Satyavrato Mahan. Narayana Paro Tapat. Tapasa Salilashanaha. Tatra Raja Rishi Khaschin. Namna Satyavrato Mahan. Narayana Paro Tapat. Tapasa Salilashanaha. Tatra Raja Rishish Kashchin. Vito Mahan Narayana Paro Tatvat Chavishishkashchin Tomahan Narayana Paro Tapat Tapasalilashanaha Tatra Raja Rishishkashchin Namna Satyavrato Mahan Narayana Paro Tapat Tapasa Salilashanaha Tatra Raja Rishikaschit Namna Satyavrato Mahan Narayana Paro Tapat Tapasa Salilashanaha Padapataha Tatra. In that connection, Raja Rishihi, a king equally qualified as a great saintly person. Kashchit, someone. Namna, by the name. Satyavrataha, Satyavrata. Mahan, a great personality. Narayana Paraha, a great devotee of Lord Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atapat, performed austerities. Tapaha, penances. Saha, he. Salila Asanaha. Ashanaha. Only drinking water. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. During the Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king named Satyavrata, who was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyavrata performed austerities by subsisting only on water. Purport. The Lord assumed one fish incarnation to save the Vedas at the beginning of the Swayambhuva Manvantara. And at the end of the Chakshusha Manvantara, the Lord again assumed the form of a fish just to favor the great king named Satyavrata. As there were two incarnations of Varaha, there were also two incarnations of fish. The Lord appeared as one fish to save the Vedas by killing Hayagriva. And then he assumed the other fish incarnation to show favor to King Satyavrata. Raja Rishihi, a king equally qualified as a great saintly person. What does that mean? Qualified. One devotee was giving a lecture in, younger devotee, householder though, not a brahmachari, was giving a lecture in New Taliban, and he said that because they're qualified. So at the end of the lecture, I asked him, I said, what do you mean by qualified? He couldn't answer. We should be able to answer when you say qualified. What is this qualified? Oh, he's qualified. But just by saying qualified makes somebody qualified? It doesn't, right? Okay, I mean, I can't argue with that. That's a good observation. Qualified means having good qualities. That's part of it. I agree. But there's another qualification, which is studying the Vedas. Why did the fish incarnation save the Vedas? Why were they so important? But the Vedas are Karmakanda, so they're not important. This is going on. This is going on because the observation was made by our acharyas that the Vedas mostly contain mantras, the Samhita portion of the Vedas, right? There's the Samhita, Brahmana, Aranyaka, and Upanishads. There are four parts of each Veda. There are some people that say only the Samhita is the Veda. You know, just like we are very critical of Mayavadis for their interpretation of Vedanta, but they actually follow Vedic culture, right? They don't kill cows. They're sattvic. Those who actually follow very strictly, they won't eat onions and garlic. They won't drink coffee and tea. Take any, you know, the point is acharanam, the practice of being in the mode of goodness is followed by the Mayavadis. So what is their disqualification? They are also qualified. In fact, they know Vedas. They means, well, it's an individual question. You can't generalize, right? Like, you'll meet people, you'll meet Sanskrit teachers that say, I don't know Sanskrit. It's that bad. Depending from person to person. To make a blanket generalization doesn't work. But a Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, as we discussed, Dvijatayaha, the twice born. Jati means birth. When we say caste system, in fact, it's a translation of the word Jati Vidhan. Jati means birth. When you refer in Hindi or in Indian languages to what here is called the caste system, Varnashram Dharma, Varna and Ashrama, but there's also Jatayaha, there's also Jati, birth. In the first chapter of the Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, you have all the good qualities, you were born with them, right? Masuchad Prakriti, no, not in the first chapter, where is that? Is there a Gita here? No. There is? Oh, you're right. Seek and ye shall find. And, boy, I'm sorry. When Krishna delineates, this is the verse, 16.5, Daivi Sampat Vimokshaya Nibandaya Asuri Mata. Daivi Sampat and Asuri Sampat. So the word Sampat here says assets. It's translated as assets. What you possess. Like, for instance, two, three people here, four people and five people possess glasses. Right? So, Walaha is a Sanskrit word that's very common in Hindi. And this is called, Upanetra is Sanskrit, but Hindi is Chesma. So it's very common in Hindi, Chesma Wala, someone who possesses glasses, right? Chesma Wala. Or Dhoti Wala, someone wearing a dhoti, right? So, Daivi Sampat Vimokshaya, one who possesses Daivi, the transcendental, sometimes the word daiva means the paramatma, right? There's another verse. I don't have to open the book. I don't have to change the page. The book is open. It's not coming. No, that's there. No, I'll tell you the other. Daiva chaivatra panchamam. Adishtanam tatakarta, the place, adishtanam tatakarta, the doer of action. Karanam cha prithagvidham, different types of actions, or the cause of different actions. That's it. Karana cha prithagvidham, vividash cha prithagcheshta, different endeavors. Daiva chaivatra panchamam, five factors in every action, in the 18th chapter, right? What are those five factors? Adishtanam, the place. Tata karta, the doer. Karta means the doer. But that same word is for the Lord Karta, Karta Mahashai, which was mispronounced as Kartamashan, the statue of Krishna. Karta Mahashai means respected sir, and it gets abbreviated in Bengal to Moshai, Moshai. Instead of saying Mahashai, they say Moshai. You never heard that? You haven't lived in Bengal? Guess what? Neither have I. I'm just a visitor in Bengal, yeah? Yeah, the Karta Mahashai means the Lord, the head of the establishment. He's also called the boss. So, Daiva, Daiva Chaivatra Panchamam, the fifth factor is Daiva, the Paramatma. Here, Daivi Sampad Mimokshaya. Mokshaya, Vimokshaya, Mokshaya, like Jaya, Vijaya, Mokshaya, Vimokshaya, there's no difference. For obtaining liberation, Mokshaya, Vimokshaya, for obtaining liberation, Daivi Sampat, those who possess transcendental qualities. Nibandaya Surimata, and those who are asuras are bound by the fruit of their sinful actions. Sukritinaha Dushkritinaha. Su, good, Dush. Duhu Dush, Dushkritinaha. They did some. Kriti is to do something. Karma. Kam Kri Dhatu. One of those 2000 verbal roots, Kri. To do. Karma comes from Kri Dhatu. So Dushkritinaha, Sukritinaha, Nibandaya Surimata. Ma sucha sampadam daivim abijato si pandava. Ma sucha. Do not worry, right? Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma sucha. It's here too. Anybody know that? Ma sucha sampadam daivim. Abhijatosi, you were born with these qualities. What does it mean? Well, the qualities are subtle. The qualities are good in the mode of goodness. And it's the result of the fruit of your past endeavors, prarabdha karma, from another life. Otherwise, how could you be born with them? If you are born blind and deaf, and that is, you had to suffer for something sinful that you did. Or if you're born a worm, etc., etc., there are punishments because of what we did. Nibandai asurimata. They are bound up. Asurim yonim apanna mudha janmani janmani. Those who are asuras, they are born as fools. Or fools means dull, like a tree, or like a plant. No intelligence, but alive. And they don't live long. They can never get out of that situation. But after many, many births, bahunam janmanamante, after many births, maybe they can get out. So, the Vedas, that was the point. The Daivi Sampat, those assets that are good, are not only from birth, but in the previous birth there was training. The previous birth of a fortunate person, somebody who was a Rajarshi, even he was not a Raja, but he would have had to be a Rishi. Because Dvijatayaha, all of them had to study the Vedas. And the Vedas were protected by the oral tradition. But here in the Bhagavad, the story is that the Vedas, Brahma was reciting the Vedas, and the demon stole the Vedas. How is it? It's what is that word? Asamordvam. We cannot understand, actually, what happened. How could the Vedas be stolen? Adbhutam, it is wonderful. It is wonderful. And these pastimes of the Lord are wonderful. We cannot watch an instant replay on TV of these pastimes, but they're described here in the Bhagavatam. So there are two leelas, two pastimes are being described at once. One is that the Vedas were saved by the fish, and the other was that there was a great king who was favored by Lord Narayana, who appeared as a fish. And the story is he appeared as a very tiny fish, and the Satyavrat put him in water, and he expanded, so he made a bigger container. And then again and again, and then, you know, Satyavrat was also amazed how this fish kept expanding, right? You know the story, you've heard it before. So there are two Manvantaras. So Manvantara means the time of a Manu. And there are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. And a day of Brahma Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. At the end of 1,000 Yugas, the day ends. And then Ratri Yuga Sahasrantam. His night is also 1,000 Yugas. Inconceivable. Because one Yuga is actually, one Mahayuga contains four Yugas. And if Kali Yuga is 432,000 years, and you double that for Satya, what is it? Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Satya Yuga. So how many million of years? I didn't remember. 4 million plus years is one Yuga. And 1,000 times is one day. And that day, if it's divided into 14, and there is a progenitor of humankind, therefore Manava Jatihi, those who are born as humans, Manu. And that progenitor is empowered by the Lord. And he's a Rajarshi. Oh, it's our friend who attended class day before yesterday. Should I tell him I'm giving the lecture? Varma ji, pravachan chalte hai mandir mein. Aap nahi hai. Aapka abhav mein pravachan chalo hai mandir mein. Acha, acha, acha. To, aap mandir aa sakte, lekin late or deri ho gaya hai. Acha. May actually dupehar ke baad Bargaon ja raha hoon. To agla hafta aunga. Okay. Okay. Main aapko ring karunga. Namaskar. Namaskar. He was in the lecture the day before. Otherwise I wouldn't have picked it up. But he was here in the lecture. If you recall elderly Indian gentleman who he comes here now and then. Right? He said he'll come in the evening. So to become a Rishi, one has to have studied the Vedas. And besides studying the Vedas, he should cultivate the good qualities, the Daivi Sampat, the assets of goodness. Sama Dhamma Tapa Socham Shanti Rajavam Evacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Brahma Karma Swabhavajam, the qualities of a Brahman. Jnana and Vijnana. Jnana means you had studied Vedic literature, and Vijnana means you realized that what you were studying was true and you apply it in your everyday life. Astikyam, faith in the Lord, that is a quality. So Arjuna was born with those qualities. Some people are not, but they realize that we should obtain those qualities by practice. Sukrita, sukrita. If the word krita was not there, doing, then we would say, well, everybody is by birth either an asura or a sura. Someone is godly or ungodly by birth. But we don't say that. And the word krita, chaturvidha bhajante mam janaha sukritinaha, they have done something good. It's not that they were born and they just lied there eating grapes and, they became good. became bad. People who do bad things are responsible for their actions. People who do good things reap the fruit of those actions. So it's better to do good. So we were talking about that yesterday, at the very end, the morality. Morality means, dharma means morality, duties. And the morality means to give up different kinds of sins, like eating meat. Everybody here is eating meat. And guess what? In India, there's a heck of a lot of people that eat meat, right? Now, there are some places in India where the Shudra castes don't eat meat. Gujarat, the Shudra castes. Now, that is saying, when I generalize like that, there are actually a lot of Shudras in Gujarat that eat meat. So there are different Shudra communities. You know, like skilled labor and unskilled labor. Fishermen are a Shudra community. Or lower than Shudra? No. You have to call them Shudra. And Gujarat has a huge coast. And on the coastline, there are fishermen. Whoever lives near the water. Well, it's an ancient tradition. They are ignorant. Yeah. For Shudras, there's only one sanskara. That's the vivaha. Marriage sanskara. Otherwise, there are no sanskara. The sanskaras are for the dvijatis, for the twice born, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya. So we didn't have those sanskaras, mostly Malechas and Yavanas that we all in this room apparently at the moment are. We didn't have those sanskaras. And so we have to establish. We have to establish those sanskaras. Besides the, 16 sanskaras, there's the sanskara of education, the right type of education. So as an institution that's dedicated to a particular ideology, that's why I say there's a Vedic educational syllabus. It's being ignored. And the cause of that is our subtle attachment to the bad impression. Sanskara means impression. The bad sanskaras we had. And so you find that in our institution, we are giving undue respect to modern academia and the so-called qualifications that are conferred by modern academia on its adherence. If you become an adherent of something, we're adherents of Krishna Bhakti and Vedic culture. And so the qualifications of Krishna Bhakti and Vedic culture are, the study of Vedas and Vedic literature, their memorization and their understanding. And the grasp that you have on that and your behavior. But now we see in an institution that's supposed to be dedicated to that, he's a PhD, she's a PhD. And so those people who put those symbols next to their name, what is it? Acronym. An acronym or an abbreviation? Acronym and abbreviation are synonymous. They're really qualified. But that's not actually the Vedic system. The Vedic system was you would have learned the Gita and the Bhagavatam, which we already spoke about. So that should be the yardstick. That should be the measure of advancement. That it means doing something. Study is doing something. That's a brahmana's duty, to study Vedic literature and to teach Vedic literature. And if we're teaching something else that's not Vedic literature, or if we want to jump over the Vedic literature and then think I'm in the highest lila, then it's sahajya. And that's what's happened. Not everywhere. This is a generalization also. Generalization doesn't work. But generally, Brahmanas had to become, knowers of Vedic literature. That was the system. So Prabhupada had that system, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Vaibhav, and Bhakti Shastri. So you had to study and understand certain shastras. System is in India in a different way, slightly. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Vaibhav, connected to Bhakti Shastras. But that Vedic, the Vedas themselves, should they be studied? Well, it's just like Vedanta. In Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Vaibhav, and Bhakti Shastri, is there a memorization of the Brahma Sutras? I don't know, and I don't think so. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada wrote in a couple purports that Vaishnavas should study Vedanta. Because there are people that say, well, we are concerned with love of God and the name of God. So then why should we study Vedanta? It's unnecessary. And everybody is not going to study Vedanta because it's terse. It's dry. It doesn't give a lot of pleasure like chanting Harinam Sankirtan gives that type of, pleasure, or taking prasadam gives that type of pleasure. Or engaging in deity worship gives that type of pleasure, but study of Vedanta is kind of dull. It's kind of dull. Higher studies are kind of dull. Even in modern academia, they're kind of dull. So there are not a lot of people who are PhDs. Well, now to get a job, you have to become a PhD type. If you want to get a job in academia here in the United States or in Europe. So we have our own academia, means Brahmanas, who study Vedic literature. And there were Brahmanas who, were masters of a number of Shastras. At least the Vedas should be saved. At least a Veda should be memorized. Why? Why is it so? Because it's so important because Lord Narayana, Vishnu, Krishna, took the form of a fish in order to save the Vedas. So there must be something in those Veda mantras that's important. And if we just write it off and say, well, it's Karma Kanda, and then it's not important, but actually we are engaged in different activities. That is karma. Now we say Nirbanda Krishna Sambande. That's good. That's the best. That's the highest platform. But can you jump to that highest platform and remain on that platform? Theoretically, yes. But is it being done? And then what about the whole society? That's the other question. Prabhupada also had that vision about changing the whole society. And changing the whole society means that you have to have a varnashram system. And when you have a varnashram system, what do the intellectuals do? Well, they study the Vedas and the Vedic knowledge. And then they try and guide society according to that knowledge. So one incarnation is saving the Vedas, the other was showing a favor to the king. So that we can go on now about how the Lord favors his devotees. Like he favored the Pandavas, he favored Dhruva, he favored Prahlad. The Bhagavatam is full of these stories. He favored Gajendra. The Gajendra story is gone before here in the 8th canto, 8th skanda. So why should the Lord come for an elephant? But the elephant in his mind was a great king who couldn't perfect his bhakti and took birth as an elephant, but remembered, even though he was in that body of a dull-headed animal, he was able to remember, same like Jada Bharat or King Bharat. King Bharata took the birth of a deer, But in that birth of a dull-headed animal deer, he remembered who he was and who we actually are. Actual identity is a devotee. So yes, ultimate aim of the Vedas is to bring you to the platform of bhakti, right? Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatitya etan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Etan gunan, these lower modes that we already discussed in the last couple of days, have to be transcended. And bhakti is the best way to transcend them. And then you attain the spiritual world. But to attain bhakti itself, there is training. We see so many people come and go because they couldn't follow the principles of uplifting themselves into the mode of goodness, of obtaining those daivi sampat, that assets of goodness, the transcendental assets. Even after many years, the people can't give up material attachment and the desire for sense gratification. The desire for sense gratification is so strong, that's why we take prasadam. But just taking prasadam itself isn't the final renunciation of eating and sleeping, as Prabhupada said in his last days, these animal activities. We remembered that. But because we cannot give up immediately, and it may take a long period of time, so then food that's offered to the deities, that is prasadam. There's the question, what is prasadam? Right? There's a question. Because there's a lot of propaganda that the midday meals is prasadam. But then who's cooking it? For what reason are they cooking it? They're cooking it because they're getting paid. It's a job. And not because they have love and devotion to the deities. Neither do they have initiation. To cook for the deities, there's a rule and regulation that you had to be initiated by the guru, and then you had to learn the system of making the offering. And then it's, once it's offered, it's prasadam. That should be considered. That should be considered. Now, in Krishna says in 12th chapter of Gita that if you can't surrender everything, think of me. If you can't do that, offer something to me. There are different levels of engaging in bhakti. And somebody shouldn't be condemned because he's in the beginning of bhakti. They should be encouraged. Joshayet sarva karmani. And don't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but engage them in bhakti. The idea is that if they, the more they engage in devotion, they'll become freed from their attachments. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it, Prabhupada said, in a war there are casualties. So the war is against Maya. The war is against the material energy. That's the war. But the material energy, gross and subtle, both. And fighting that war means daivi sampat has to be obtained. Assets. Assets means that you obtain something, right? When you have an asset, even intelligence, unless you obtain knowledge, then the intelligence is wasted on making atomic bombs or factories that are polluting the atmosphere or clean coal. You ever heard of clean coal before? How is it possible? Coal by nature is dirty. How can it be clean? So like that, the demons, for sense gratification, have made all these ugra karmas, right? All these horrible, I mean, people are suffering in different ways, producing goods and services that are meant to please the senses for a temporary amount of time. But those ugra karmas are papas. They're sinful activities. Just like a mechanized slaughterhouse. Well, it's all done. It's, you know, the animals don't suffer so much. Right? If for one moment they're pulverized and killed, and then, you know, everybody can enjoy their meat. That's, of course, a very gross example. But even the airplane or the car, we're using it. But it's in order to produce these machines, the modern machines, there are so many ugra karmas that are being undertaken. Taking out the oil from the earth is an ugra karma. It's a terrible activity. Therefore, the ideal transportation is an elephant, a horse, or a bullock cart, where you also engage the animals instead of slaughtering the animals. And the products, the byproduct of what you're using, helps the earth rather than contaminate the earth. All of the cars are contaminating the earth. All of the airplanes are contaminating the earth, etc., etc. And by having pashudan, the wealth of animals, you're fertilizing the earth. You're giving the animals, you're taking care of them instead of slaughtering them. So these considerations were there. Therefore, all these big factories didn't exist in Vedic India, in Bharata, because the kings understood these things are unnecessary for life. You can live comfortably because you need food, and you can produce materials for clothing without having to take the oil from the earth, which is polyester, rayon, and nylon, or whatever. You know, they have other compounds. And just using cotton and the bark of a tree, or jute. You've heard of jute, right? It's not popular anymore. But I mean, even products of the earth were stored in the jute bags. Sugar and the gur, which is a molasses, a rough, what is it? Unrefined sugar. So these products were easy to produce in small village industries. So those small village industries are not polluting the atmosphere. They give people local employment without sending them to all corners of the country. As you hear, you know, to get a job, you have to leave your family. And the families all stayed together and helped each other. And here now, nobody has help, especially the women. There's no extended family. So when there's a child, they have to either pay money to put the child with some strangers during the day so they can go to work. What is this culture that they, what is this kind of civilization? And it's very unnatural. So there's so many psychological problems I have arisen from all these dushkritinaha, from all the bad actions that neglect shastras. So there's another verse in the Gita, right? Yaha shastra vidhim utsrija. Those who give up the shastra vidhi. Yaha shastra vidhi. Vidhi means the practices recommended, the type of lifestyle that's recommended in Vedic literature. Yaha shastra vidhim utsrija. Having given that up. Vartate kamakarataha. Those who do whatever they want according to their own whims. Nasa siddhim avapnoti. They cannot get perfection. Nasukham. They cannot be happy. Naparagatim. And they cannot obtain liberation. Again, the jam in the nose. I don't know why. Is it cold? We got 10 minutes left before I bolt out the door. But although, you know, there's no 100% surety that fellow will keep his appointment, his appointed time. Because, well, anyway. Any questions? Because they may go on for 10 minutes. Oh, I lost the place. Yeah. Oh, 1 minute, Prabhu. Behind you. Oh, there it is.
Thank you. So you mentioned that the PhD, the degree in educational system, it seems though that Prabhupada did give some respect and honor to people who had managed to gain something like that. I'm just wondering, is that only because they did have to perform some austerity, or did he have any respect for the knowledge that, which, as you say, is mostly useless and even destructive?
He said both, or he did both. Like, Prabhupada was respectful to big Mayavadis, and you know, when you but he got angry at times with Mayavadis. But at the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple, he invited these Mayavadis and showed them all kinds of respect. So it's a time and circumstance. But however, what is the ultimate analysis? Because say you studied something in one subject, and that's, you're not all-knowing. You don't know everything. But you did learn something about something. So, sure, when we go out and meet people who aren't following Vedic culture, we show them respect, right? We deal very nicely. We don't go around arrogantly, you are a demon, you are a rascal, because you're an asura. You know, it's not like everyone, hey, asura, what are you doing? You know. But the people in this country are by and large asuras, right? I'm living with them. I mean, it's that's the way this country is. So, nabhudhi bhedam janayet, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. So, yeah, offering respect to an ant is also part of our ideology, where the, you know, one who became a devotee regrets his his papachar, the whatever sinful activities he might have performed. And he may feel that I'm the most sinful. I have performed so many sinful activities. And sometimes we feel that devotee is supposed to feel, right? Very fallen. Trinadapi Sunichena was taught by Mahaprabhu. Same time, Prabhupada condemned modern education time and again. The record shows, now obviously I can't bring exhibit one in like in a courtroom, you know, exhibit one, exhibit two. Prabhupada said this on such and such date at such and such time. But we know that he condemned modern education, called it a slaughterhouse of the mind. So what does that mean? It's a very general statement. So when he condemned it, because the difference between the modern educational outlook, the ethos of modern education, and the ethos of Vedic education is totally different. The ethos of Vedic education is, what is it called? Environmentally friendly. To use a politically correct term. But it's true. It's true. These factories didn't exist because the kings were Rajarshis. They were not only kings, but they were rishis. But what is a rishi? Is a rishi someone born a rishi, like a cauliflower appears because it's coming from the seed of a cauliflower? No, somebody, because we know that the Vedic system is to recite the Vedas, to memorize the Vedas and study the Vedic literature. So a rishi is someone who did that, who learned. When you say, for instance, Rama, we wanted some remembrance of Rama, we opened this, but we're not going to use it. Looks like there's not a lot of time. But the whole birth of Lord Rama came about when the great king Dasharatha didn't have a son. And he had three principal wives, but he had 350 wives, which is in the Valmiki Ramayana. You didn't know that. Well, now you know. Well, is that a lot of wives? Then Krishna had 16,000, but there's someone in the Bhagavatam who had 100 times more wives than Krishna. Who is that? Chitraketu. Oh, 10 million wives. I didn't write the Bhagavatam. I'm just repeating what's in the Bhagavatam. So if King Dasharatha had 350 wives, is it surprising or is it shocking? It's there. So he, with all those wives, he didn't have a son. Chitraketu didn't have a son also. Similar story, even with 10 million wives. So a sage was called. What did the sage do? Did he wave a magic wand like in Western mythology? Is that what you call it? There's no such thing as a magic wand, right? I mean, what is a wand? It's a stick that's supposed to have, you know, superpowers. Doesn't exist. It's a fairy tale, isn't it? So it's not like the sage was, who was it? Rishishringya. Wasn't that it? Dasharath called his priest, Vashishta called a brahmachari sage, Rishishringya, to perform this putra, what was it? Putriyeshti, to fulfill the desire to have a son sacrifice. So it had to be a brahmachari. So what did he do? Did he wave a stick? And no, they performed a sacrifice. And the fruit of that sacrifice was kheer, sweet rice. The sweet rice was given to the three main wives of Dasharath. And they, one wife had half, and the other two wives split half. And they had four sons. So there was a system of getting those sons. And only a rishi who had could properly chant the mantras to empower that sweet rice with the power of fertility. So this, we have faith in that. We have faith in that story. That's in Valmiki Ramayana. And therefore Rama appeared. Now, Gita says, Janma karma chame divyam. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, the word divya is used again. Divya is used in different places with different meanings. Tetam buktva swargalokam vishalam, kshine punye martyalokam vishanti. Nay, same verse. Ashnanti divyan divideva bogan. They enjoy in the heavenly planets, not in Krishna's Vaikuntha, but in Indra Swarga. What's the first word of that? Traimam somapav putapapa. Those who follow the Vedas and perform sacrifices and drink the soma rasa. Traimam somapav putapapa. Yajnyayar ishtva. They put offerings into the fire. Swargatim prartayante. And they pray to go to the heavenly planet of Indra. When you say swargatim, gati, destination, swar, the heavenly planet, te punyam asadya surendra lokam. Having obtained that punya, they go to the planet of Indra, Surendra, the king of the king of the demigods, ashnanti divyan, and they enjoy divya bhogan, divi in the planet of the heaven, deva bhogan. What the devas enjoy, beautiful women, apsaras, that's what the devas enjoy. Am I wrong? I'm right. Why? Here's the proof. When Arjuna went to visit his father Indra, what did Indra do? He called Urvashi, one of the apsaras. Now you're here. Do what we do. Enjoy with this beautiful apsara. And Arjuna, bow down, you're my mother. Then Urvashi got angry. Rascal, you're supposed to come and enjoy with me. Let's go. No, no, you're my mother. You were the wife of Puru Rava, one of my ancestors. You rascal, you should become a eunuch, right? Napunsaka. That means, what's the other word, synonym for eunuch? Someone who has no potency, what is it? Emasculate, I'm looking for another word. What is it called when someone is castrated? What's it called? neuter. There's another word I'm thinking of. Well, not that. Impotent. Impotent. Or important. That's the word I was looking for. You become important. You become impotent. It's why did she get angry? And he had to serve out the curse for 1 year instead of for the rest of his life. Right? When the Pandavas were in the Agyatavas, incognito for 1 year, then Brihannala. Arjuna became the impotent teacher of the king of Virat's daughter Uttara, a dance and music teacher. The great Arjuna had to be an impotent eunuch for 1 year because of the curse of the Apsara. So Ashnanti Divyan, the word Divya is there, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, same Divya, but the Prasanga, the context is different. So one wonderful, Divya means wonderful. My birth and activities are wonderful, but we use transcendental because Krishna is transcendental. And then wonderful enjoyment in the heavenly planets is used because that type of enjoyment you don't get in this planet. Prabhupada said the apsaras are thousands of times more beautiful than the most beautiful women of this world. We cannot imagine. And Arjuna was not moved by that. You can imagine how great a personality Arjuna was. He was not moved by the apsara. I didn't tie up something here. How did that tangent get to the tangent, but the example? Your question. So why is modern education considered important sometimes? Well, it is wonderful that somebody knows something. So he's better than most in one subject. And anyway, we respect everybody. But actually, the aim is to become a rishi. That's how I got to Rishishringya. He was a rishi who performed the sacrifice. It wasn't by an injection or by taking some medicine that he became a rishi. Or it wasn't by some blessing of some other rishi, or that one rishi touched him and the electricity flowed into him. That's condemned by Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada, that story. That's very popular in West Bengal. But it is by study of Vedic literature and performing sacrifices and getting it right, the Vedic system. Ruchi was my good friend. Really? Encyclopedia. He's missed the last 25 years of baseball. Unfortunately, he committed a great offense by committing suicide. Oops. If somebody starts inquiring who was Ruchi, who threw himself in front of the train in 1992, the train between Vrindavan and Mathura. He was mentally weak. He was my good friend. Hey, he landed in Bombay, kick off his shoes and take the train barefooted to Baroda. You don't know that. We used to have long walks and talks. We were in New York together in 1990. And I was going to meet an Indian businessman and I took him with me. And we're in an elevator and, you know, we're in dhotis. And who wears a dhoti right in New York and Manhattan? And some guy said, well, what are you? Are you priests? And then we started talking and then we said, well, what do you do? And he said, I'm a thief. Yeah, can you believe that? I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. With Ruchi. Whenever I hear Ruchi's name, I remember that incident in Manhattan. Can a thief honestly say like that? Oh, I see. Yeah, he had many good qualities, but he blew it. He blew it because it's an aparad to commit suicide. It's an aparad to your guru. It's an aparad to Krishna. We've been given this human form of life. It's very rare. We shouldn't destroy the human body. The Vedic blessing is to live for 100 years. Why? Well, another god brother who used to live in this temple, who lives in Vrindavan, now you know who I'm talking about. He keeps texting me. He said, should I observe my birthday? And I said, absolutely. I replied, yes, you should give cows in charity to brahmanas. That's how the birthdays were observed in Vedic culture, giving something in charity to a brahmana so that they'll bless you with a long life. So he wrote back, I don't want to live long and suffer. Because long life means more suffering. Well, you know, this is a Western, or I'm not Western really, I'm sorry. It's a misconception among devotees because we always condemn the miseries of the material world. But the Vedic concept is human life is rare, and so you should live as long as you can. And Prabhupada also said that. You should try and live as long as you can. Not that you should desire to die. So suicide is a wrong option from the spiritual viewpoint, from the Vedic viewpoint. So when you bring up his name, then we remember that he made that error. Although he was, you know, he had many good qualities. He had many good qualities. I gotta go kind of thing. I have a 9 o'clock appointment, so excuse me. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I'll be back next week. I can give some more classes if you want. I'm not sure how long I'll be out playing it by ear, winging it as I go. Oh, Jitendriya Prabhu, I have to...